2 Timothy chapter number 1. Ljubazni, želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz druge poslanice apostola Pavla Timoteju, prva glava. Druga poslanica Timoteju, prva glava. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned love that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee. Keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. This is the extent of our reading.
We come before thee, thy children and thy children's children, our friends and loved ones, and all those who have come to hear thy word. We come before thy word, and we come before thee in thy holy throne of grace, with reverence, having been taught of thy holiness, thy purity, thy wisdom, and thy glory. And we come before thee on bended knees to worship and adore thy name, to praise thee for thy wonderful works, and that thou hast sent thine only begotten Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to extend unto us the invitation to be partakers of thy blessings, and also, as we have read, partakers of the afflictions that come in following him. Father, we come before thee, and we come before thy word as the living water and fount of life. We all come with our hearts and our experiences that are different and varied. We come with thirst for thy truth to draw from that fount of living water, that our thirst might be quenched. We come from facing the afflictions and temptations and battles and the struggle that is on this side of the grave. We come for rest and to take this day and dedicate it unto Thee, a day of rest and worship, that our souls might be refreshed. We ask, O Lord, that Thy word would minister unto us. We pray that Thy word, as we hear it, would convict us, and that we in quietness would allow Thy Spirit to speak, that we would listen to that still small voice that calls us to endure unto the blessed end, that calls us to keep that good word that we have received. Great God in heaven, we do not even know the blessings that Thou hast imparted unto us. We often fail to realize and thank Thee aright for all that Thy love means to our very existence. Help us to see with eyes of faith, and help us to receive the light of Thy word to shine upon our lives and give us the guidance and wisdom that we so dearly need, each one of us from the oldest to the youngest, to endure, to be able to take care of the responsibilities that Thou hast placed in our lives, whether it is raising a family, keeping a job, blessing and serving in the church, blessing and serving in our neighborhoods. Lord, Thou dost know each and every one of us. And it is Thy word that we come to for the strength and help in our time of need. We pray that we would not gather in vain, but Thy word would go forth and accomplish that which Thou hast sent it to do. And we will hear. We ask Thee to be present with us. We ask Thee to be with each and every one that grieves, families that are grieving loss of a loved one. Lord, Thou art the one who art able to comfort. Thou art the one who can fill the loss that is experienced by each and every one. Help us to encourage each other to look to Thee and to find all that we need, our all in all, in Jesus Christ, to look up to Him with eyes of faith and see Him suffering, bleeding for us, and that we might say and give our thanks to Thee for all that Thou hast done. Grant Thy blessing unto each and every one. Be with Thy servants, our brothers, as they would meditate on the word and share according to Thy Holy Spirit's guidance, that we might be edified and Thy name would be glorified and honored, and that our dearly beloved children and friends who come to hear the truth would know of a surety and have that confidence and believe and embrace the word that is able to save their souls. These things we humbly ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Dear sisters and Lord and friends of the truth and the much welcome hearers, as we have come together in the house of the Lord this morning, we have a word before us of an exhortation to a zeal, to a continuation in the battle. In the days of this letter in which it was written, we see that we find the Apostle Paul himself is in prison. But not only is he in prison, but he is ready to be offered. So he knows that his departure is at hand. And what does he do? He doesn't sit in prison and pick up his pen to write of the woes that he has faced all his life and or in his service to the Lord. No, he writes words of exhortation to a young man who he has befriended, it tells us in the Acts of the Apostles in Lystra. He met Timothy there, and Timothy came with high recommendations, if we could use that word, from the local brethren at the time. He was a man who had obviously given himself over unto the gospel message. He was born and raised in a family who had loved the Lord. His grandmother, his mother, and then he himself. And so Paul is in the face of great, great persecution now, and has been for some time. And we have to keep in mind that Paul had given up a life of leisure, he could have been right now on a remote Mediterranean isle saying, I am so blessed. Life is so good. No, he was in prison because he chose to put away the things that were going to hinder him in that commitment that he had made to serve his Lord. He put all those things away. He cast them all aside. Nothing was dear to him. Even as the brother prayed that we would recognize that Jesus Christ is all in all. He is everything. And so when Paul met Jesus, he met him on the road to Damascus, and he said, who art thou, Lord? Who are you? And Jesus showed him who he was. He says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He says, what wilt thou have me to do? And so from that moment on, his only goal in life, what wilt thou, Lord, have me to do? Now, Lord, can I do something for myself? It was all about, Lord, what will you have me to do? And so we see his life upon his conversion, a life of service, a life of love, a life of power, a life of faith, a life of no fear. No fear of the greatest enemy that Satan has for all of us. And we have to sometimes even think about it for moments, and when we start falling upon our own strengths and our own wisdom and our own understandings, we start to fear death. And Paul is facing death here, a sure death. And what does he do? He picks up his pen and he writes to exhort those who are not in prison like he is. Timothy isn't in prison right now, but he's exhorting him to be faithful, to be true, to love the Lord, and to serve him. And he writes here to him, and we have to just really think of this, because the Caesar at this time his hands are red with blood, that of Christians, those who have committed their lives unto the Lord. He's making martyrs of many. He's taken their life because they served the Lord Jesus. They trump up charges against them, and they take them to their death. Deaths that are not in any way ones that we just shudder at the thought of what was taking place and the manner in which they were being killed. And Hebrews tells us how many of them had died all through the ages. They didn't accept deliverance. They could have. Paul could have here renounced his faith and said, what is this? Is this what the Lord had called me to? Never once do we even see a hint of that thought in any of his writings. He wrote epistle after epistle to churches and to individuals of words of exhortation that give power and strength to people. And they're meant here for us also to do the same for us today. Brother prayed something that caused me to shudder. He said that our gathering would not be in vain today. Do we ever gather together around the power of God and our gathering is in vain? What does that mean, to gather in vain? That means It did us no good. Why? Is it the lack of the power in the Word? Who is the reason that we've gathered vainly? It's only ourselves. Only I and only you can leave here and at the close of this day as we reflect upon the day, what were our blessings? What were they? Am I going to say, I didn't have any blessings? Is it all about me? Why did I come together? Can I not read this word and just take myself back in time to the time when Paul is writing this and where he's writing it from and the words that he is writing and the surety of his faith, the entire giving of himself to thanksgiving is, I thank God. I thank God for what? Whom I serve. With a pure conscience. What is the fruit of a good conscience? It's love. The fruit of love is a good conscience, is what I meant to say. The fruit of love is a good conscience. And he speaks here of the love of God, the power of God, and the faith, the peace, and the hope. He says, I'm not ashamed of the hope that I have. The hope that I've spoken of to the church in Corinth. The hope that fades away. It's fading away for me. I'm not ashamed of that hope. Yes, I'm facing the executioner's axe right now. But I'm not ashamed of that hope that has carried me throughout this journey. I'm not ashamed of that hope. Because there's love. There's love. The love of Christ is in me. And I thank my God that he gave me that love. Because that will not fade. That will not go away. That's going to take me through this door of death and on into eternity. And I will continue to love as I am loved. I'm not ashamed, Paul says. I'm not, and don't be ashamed, he says, of my bonds. Don't be ashamed. Don't turn your back from those things. Is Paul writing about a prosperity gospel? Is he writing about the blessings on this side of the grave? The blessings on this side of the grave for Paul are spoken of. Faith, love, peace, joy. Those are blessings that he has felt every day. Those are the blessings that he lived for. Those are the things that he was striving to attain and to feel, to be empowered with. And he says, I thank God whom I serve. He says that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. This is an apostle who is in prison, going to die. During the night, during the day, he prays. He prays for the church. He writes letters. He prays for individuals. He writes them letters, exhorting them to continue in the faith, in the gospel, the greatest truth on earth. The greatest truth he was not ashamed to speak of. People will speak about all kinds of different things, but the greatest truth that can be spoken is that what Jesus Christ had come. And to save us from our sins. He gave his life. And he showed us a life of love, a life of power. Jesus showed Paul that Paul And Paul then was able to love his jailers. He sought always, whether he was before Agrippa or Felix, or whether he was chained to a jailer, he always sought to speak to them of the hope that he had. He loved them. How did he love them? He saw it in Christ. Christ loved Annas. Christ loved Cephas. Christ loved the one who drove the nails into his hands. Christ loved the one who spit in his face. He loved them. And he died for them. This is the power. This is the power, he says, that he has learned from Christ, his Savior and his Redeemer. And we say, oh, that person is hard to love. What does that even mean? We all say it. In some way, he's difficult to love. What does that mean? Was the one who spit in Jesus' face difficult to love? Is the jailer that beat Paul, left him bloodied and bruised, bleeding in his prison, chained, was he difficult to love? Human love? Yeah. Very, very much so. God's love? Very easy. Do I have God's love? He says he's greatly desiring to see him. Being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. What's going to give Paul joy? To see his beloved son. Not his son in the flesh. Spiritual son. The one who he has embraced and is exhorting and being a mentor to and teaching him. What's he teaching him? The power of God. The love of God. The peace. He says, so that I may be filled with joy, I long to see you. He didn't say, if I'm just released from these bonds, I'm going to be filled with joy. He says, if I see you, Timothy, I will be filled with joy. And he talks about the unfeigned love, the unfeigned faith. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother, and then in your mother, and now in you. Fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers, do we see the importance of teaching our children who God is? It's an unfeigned love or faith that is in thee. It's not hypocritical. It's not fake. It's unfeigned. It's a faith that has carried Paul, that has carried Timothy. And Timothy ultimately, through Scripture, we can see that he also gave his life. Martyred. He says, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. The gift of God, stir it up. This stirring up means to take embers that are glowing and stir them up and ignite those embers into a burning, burning flame. That gift of God, stir it up. Be on fire. Not for yourself, for God. And when you're on fire for Him, you're on fire for those around you. For what? To give them the gospel. The greatest truth that you can ever utter. And he says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power. He gave us a spirit of love and of a sound mind. Fear, we read, where is it, in John's epistle? He said, is cast out by love. He said, you don't have a spirit of fear. That's gone. Timothy, don't look at me. Don't look at the fact that I'm in prison and I'm going to die. Don't in any way even think for a minute that you should be afraid. This is the one who is going to die is speaking. He's not saying that lightly. He's not saying it just to utter some words. He's taking the time to write these things and to send them to Timothy. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The testimony of our Lord to love, to do good to those who use you, to those who despise you, who hate you, to those who spit on you, yes, those who persecute you, those who hold you in chains and want to take your life. Don't be ashamed of that testimony of our Lord. But hold it and throne that in your heart. And that will give you the strength. That alone, it casts out fear. It casts out fear. There's no fear. The power, the love, and the sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Don't be afraid of the fact that I'm in prison. Don't be ashamed. But you also be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. It's coming, it's coming after you too. It says, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. The afflictions of the gospel. Do we think of the afflictions of the gospel? This is what Paul is writing. He's not speaking of the good life of the gospel on this side of the grave. He's saying the afflictions that are going to come upon those who love the Lord. This is a very, very bad time to be a Christian if you love your life. If you love life and don't love the Lord, it will weed you out. It will expose you. In the next 300 years, history shows us, the Caesar after Caesar came, and they did even more and more against the Christians. But they kept growing. How? In the face of such adversity, was the church able to grow? How? God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us one of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That's how. Nothing that you're going to do, nothing that I'm going to do on our own. Nothing that we're able to do. He doesn't tell Timothy here, or he tells us here, he says, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Be ye holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. This is the calling. He has called us, he says, with an holy calling, not according to our works. Don't now set yourself, have some a resolution of steel to say, okay, I'm going to give my life. It means nothing. You can give it. Paul said you can give your life. It means nothing. You can give your body to be burned. It doesn't mean anything. That's just a steel resolve that you might have. He says, not according to works. No. Where is it? He called us with, be ye holy. Not according to our words, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. That's what was given unto us. And so now, because of my love for him, I will give my body to be burned. I will give my body to be beaten. And I will love the one who is beating me. Why? Because I set myself to do it? No. Because God gave me the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And he called me to be holy. And because of that, because he has empowered me to do that, I give my life. He is all in all. I recognize him. He is the one. He says, now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. Through what? Through the gospel. My dear friends, there's no fear of death with the glorious light of the gospel before you. Do I fear death? I have to ask myself, do I love the Lord? Because we can see that death is the door. Paul is looking at the eyes of the Caesar, who's filled with hatred towards him. Filled with hatred. He sees the scowl and the hatred that is in this man. And he looks forward to the moment when he's going to see the face of his Lord. When he goes through that door of death and on to eternity to see his Lord, to be with him. Paul often spoke of it. His desire is to be with him. He says, but for your sake, the Lord still has me here. My work isn't finished yet. Stephen's work was finished, and it came at the hands of this very apostle. Only the Lord Jesus could have done what had happened. That Saul, looking upon him, testifying that he sees the Lord Jesus as his life ebbs and goes away into silence, into death, that same man who witnessed and partook would see him in glory. Who could do that but our Lord himself? See, Stephen loved Saul when Saul was persecuting him because he loved the Lord. And he brings life, he says. And immortality to light through the gospel. There's no life outside of Jesus Christ. There's strife, there's sicknesses, and there's death. But through that, there's no comfort, there's no hope, there's no peace. It's not to be found there. It's only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, I'm appointed an apostle, I'm appointed a teacher of the Gentiles. This is what the Lord had told me. He told the man that I was told to go to so I could receive my sight. He says, I will show him what great things he will suffer for my name's sake. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. What's he speaking again here? He speaks of faith. of love. The good conscience that comes from that. What is our conscience? Have I resolved to do something? Is that going to give me a clear conscience? No, it's going to give me a feeling of accomplishment. Paul never felt a feeling of accomplishment. I did it. He just felt the power of God working in him, enabling him to love his enemy, enabling him to testify unashamedly of the hope that he has, of the peace that is in him, and of death that he looks forward to. Not with trepidation, no, with joy. He says, hold fast to those things. He says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. Brothers and sisters, that good thing which was committed unto you, keep. Don't change it. Don't make it easier. Don't explain it away. Keep it. How? How? By the Holy Ghost which dwells in you. How are we going to do that? Through that alone which casts out fear, love. He says, I suffer, but nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. I know who I believe. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. No reliance on self. All is on him. All is on the Lord. However, the way he could do that, the only way he was able to do that, is because he was sure of the love that he had. The love that he had for his Lord gave him a clear conscience. He didn't go talk about his brethren. He didn't go exalt himself above them. No. He loved them, and he prayed for them day and night. Prayed for them day and night. He writes to the Ephesians. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't be strong on your own. Don't get that steel resolve. Okay, I will not do this. I will not do this today. It takes us nowhere. Be strong in the power of his might. And that comes through our love for him. Our love for him will grant unto us, dear ones, the ability to keep that through the Holy Ghost, the things that we have committed. We have promised a life of love, a life of obedience. But dear ones, it's a life of power. It's a life of victory. It's a life of unashamedly declaring the greatest truths that this world has ever heard. Can we do that? Can we do that through focusing on ourselves? Can I do that through focusing on my comforts, my those things that give me pleasure. I just think of Paul. What brought him comfort? What brought him joy? To hear that those churches that he set up are growing. That gave him the strength to just keep going. So, dear ones, as we reflect on the life of Paul, we don't reflect on Paul himself. He never did that himself. He always reflected on the power that was within him that is available to all of us. The Holy Ghost which is in you, he says. Keep those things which you have committed. And the words that kept him every day, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Do we ask that every day? Why, Lord, why me? Why again? No. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You brought me to it. You will bring me through it. Blessed be the name of our Lord. May that, dear ones, this chapter that we have read, take us to a level or to a height in our journey here. We have to keep in mind we live on resurrection ground. That's power. Victory over death. Those things that enslave us, that enslaved us, we break free from. Our passions, our desires, our jealousies, our envies, our hatreds, our strifes, our the things that just irritate us and cause so much grief. We all felt anger, discontentment. We've all felt it. What does it do to us? Do we go to bed in peace? No. That's from Satan. Those are his forces. Satanic. Thinking about, what he told me, what I'm going to tell him. We can create all these scenarios in our mind. We know what we deal with. There's no power there. It's just defeat, chains, darkness, death. Paul always talked about that day. What is that day? He said it here in this chapter. That day. That's the day that we stand before God our Lord. That's that day. And so he says, today, prepare yourself for that day. How? Love the Lord. Let him be your all in all. Serve him, love him. In doing so, you will serve and love one another. When you overcome evil with good, you go to bed with peace. Satan didn't rob the joy. He didn't rob the peace. He didn't rob anything from us. When the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shines in our hearts and we love him, it's power. It's sound mind. It's love. May God bless his word upon our hearts in this day. Amen.